BSI in the world. I'm John Batchelor. Jake Sullivan is the National Security Advisor for the Biden administration, and Wang Yi is the chief foreign diplomat, also the foreign minister for the People's Republic of China. And in a conversation, we're told, that took place over 2 days in Bangkok, Thailand, the Financial Times summarizes, U.S. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan has urged Beijing to use its leverage with Tehran to rein in Iranian-backed Houthi attacks on vessels in the Red Sea. Back-channel meeting, it's said to be. Back-channel meeting. Well, Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, my colleague and co-host, Rebecca Grant is here to help us with a back-channel meeting that's on the front page of the Financial Times. She is president of Iris Independent Research, a visiting fellow of the Lexington Institute. Rebecca, my first question is, why do they want us to know this? Good evening to you.
What an excellent question. Oh, Jake Sullivan in a back channel meeting, or maybe a follow up to the San Francisco meetings. But like they used to say in the old radio shows, what a revolting development that is. The idea of asking China for help with the Houthis by putting so-called leverage on Iran. We are just living in a whole new world. This is not good.
They wanted us to know it because they wanted us to know it with success. They just wanted us to know it so we'd think that something was happening. I don't want to be too cynical, but it is a mistake not to be cynical enough.
Especially with this White House that's very careful about its release of back channel and classified information. Two things. One, they want us to see that there's a positive, ongoing diplomatic relationship with China. I don't agree with that, but that's been a big goal for this White House to have this diplomacy with China. So I think in part they couldn't resist. And then I think there's a larger move to prepare us for the response options from the Biden White House, which I'm getting the feeling, who knows what will happen, but I think we should be prepared maybe to be a little underwhelmed. And they're clearly going to want to do some diplomatic and sanctions and economic things where they feel in their strong suit. So I think leaking this discussion with China is part of that. And on the whole, just not a strong direction for U.S. foreign policy.
Gordon, you have a question for Rebecca.
Rebecca, by the Biden administration leaking this request, do you think they're trying to put China on the spot, thinking that China would want to appear responsible and therefore maybe pushing Beijing in the right direction? I can't think of many reasons why they would do this because it seems so unrealistic. But what do you think about that?
Yes, to put China on the spot so China either has to make something happen by pressuring Iran to tell the Houthis and everybody else to cool it, or by showing that China can't make it happen if the strikes continue. Either way, I think you're right, Gordon, about that move, but it's a risky move on that chessboard because if China were to really be helpful, I would think they'd want to do it behind the scenes. I guess a third possibility is that China wants to appear to have a larger diplomatic profile in the region. You know, we saw the negotiations a year ago with Saudi and Iran. China's always offering to make peace between anybody and to get in. So are they doing this because China wants to raise its profile? Three very different possibilities. But again, it all just seems like it's a low payoff move.
My memory is that the relationship between China and Tehran turns on a $400 billion promissory note or expectation of development over the years for oil for China from Tehran. We know that Tehran is now shipping oil to China. That is a form of leverage if the money is real. However, here's the contradiction for me, Rebecca. China is linked to Russia. Russia's linked to Tehran. That now and again calls itself the axis of resistance. Is that not accurate? Is China outside the axis of resistance? I don't know why you would appeal to the enemy to control the enemy. So what category does China serve for the Biden administration? How do they regard it?
Oh, such a good question. I feel it myself that China is sort of the quarterback of the axis of resistance here. You're right, John, that that long-term oil deal is the number one interest, both for Iran and for China. But whether this translates into any kind of leverage is just so hard to see. I think a lot depends on whether Chinese shipping is being disturbed in the Red Sea. And some of the reports from the maritime experts are that China's share of shipping in the Red Sea is going up. There's some rumors about Chinese ships broadcasting, hey, we're Chinese, as they sail up there past Yemen and the Houthis. So I don't know that we see a clear path of leverage. I mean, should China be a good global citizen and help to calm tensions in the Red Sea? Yes. But are they willing to do that? Would they be effective? I don't know. And you know nothing's going to disturb that oil deal. And then at the bottom of all this is, will Iran pay attention? I don't see China turning off the money and stopping the oil purchases. So is there something they can really do that Iran will pay attention to? No one's had a lot of luck, not the Europeans, not the U.S., in getting Iran to change its behavior. Will China have any more luck? Will they even try? Hard to say.
And Rebecca, it reminds me of how we would appeal to Hu Jintao and Xi for a while for leverage with North Korea. And that led to North Korea having a ballistic missile test over the Pacific. So this concept is not just limited to the Biden administration. Previous administrations, the Bush administration, the Obama administration, and the Trump administration have had this same magical thinking. Where does it come from, Rebecca?
The North Korea parallel is perfect, because all the North Korea experts will tell you that China always claims, oh, we have no influence over North Korea, never mind that they're North Korea's really only trade partner and obviously have a lot of influence. This magical thinking, I think, is the last vestiges of hoping that China, in its economic rise, would turn out to be a good global citizen. The difficulty now is we're really stuck. If we're asking China for help with the Houthis, that looks to me like geopolitics are shifting, and not in a good way.
We have about a minute, Gordon.
So, you know, China's been fueling the war against Israel with elevated commodity purchases, supply of weapons, diplomatic support. Do you think China has bit off more than it can handle?
Oh, I wish, but maybe not quite yet, because I think they want to undermine the U.S., and so everything they do to help Russia with Ukraine, to help Iran, to fuel the problems in Gaza, that's detracting from the United States. So I think for the moment, they've got things on the boil, but it's going okay. But your larger point, Gordon, really is what kind of world diplomats can the Chinese be? And there, I think you're right. I think they are looking around and saying, this world politics, world leadership thing, this isn't as easy as we thought.
Rebecca Grant is president of IRIS Independent Research, also a visiting fellow of the Lexington Institute. Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, writing at Newsweek, The Hill. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.